The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Read that with me, would you please? Proverbs 14, 34. You ready? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the privilege to be here today. We appreciate so very much your people. We appreciate your presence, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you'll meet with us today in a very special way. Help us, our Lord, not to see the preacher, not to see each other, but as Philip of old said, sirs, we must see Jesus. Help us to see him today. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to talk today about, I've preached this verse many times and looked at it many times, but my attention today is drawn to a little three-letter word, and that word is sin. The Bible said righteousness exalteth a nation. Boy, you could preach right there a long time. But the Bible said, but sin is a reproach to any people. I looked up that word reproach, and it means disgrace. It means shame. Sin is a disgrace. It's a shame to any people. I want to say in the onset of the message, I know that many think that today the answer for America's woes is political. I'm going to tell you, beloved, I've got the answer right in front of me for America's woes. Amen. I don't know if you watched the debate the other night, but I'm telling you, all my heart could do is sink. 330-some million people in America, and that's what you've got looking for leadership. I'm telling you, beloved, we're in trouble. But we're not in trouble because of Democrats or because of Republicans. We're in trouble because we've turned our back on a holy God. And we think we can get by with sin. We think we can do without. Now today, I want you to stay with me because I'm going to preach today like it might be the last message I ever get to preach. And truly, it might be. And I appreciate you being here today. I want to give you five things today in the message. The first thing I want to talk to you about for a moment is the definition of sin. The Bible said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Last week we talked about the law being our schoolmaster. It's to point us to Christ. But the Bible said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. And God said, when we break any of those laws, that we've sinned. Sin is a transgression of the law. You say, well, I can read that list and I'm doing pretty good. I doubt it. But the Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You go to the New Testament out of Deuteronomy over into Luke, and it says, and thy neighbor as thyself. Let me tell you something. That commandment right there is impossible to carry out apart from the Lord being in a man's life, in a woman's life. We can't do it without him. And sometimes you could say, well, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I'll tell you what, that's Old Testament. Well, listen to the New Testament. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Now you say, now, Pastor, maybe I told a lie somewhere along the line. Or maybe I looked at a woman, or maybe I envied, or maybe I was jealous, or maybe I spoke out of turn. But after all, Pastor, that's a little thing. Let me give you something. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to make sin a big thing. It's not a little thing. It doesn't matter if it's a 7-year-old that's lied or a 70-year-old that's been a drunkard and a drug addict all of his life. Sin is not a little thing. The Bible said this, if a man was to keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes along and deals with a person about their sin, he doesn't deal about this little sin or this little sin or this little fib. That's what we like to call a lie, a little fib. Amen. And by the way, I'm just going to stop and say this. Both the men that were on that stage told lies the other night. Both of them did. Some of them bigger than others. Amen. But I'm just telling you, beloved, listen. You say, Pastor, give me an example. Number one, inflation wasn't nothing. It was 1.4%. Say what it was. Don't say nothing. Amen. There's a difference between zero and 1.4%. You say, you're picking, preacher. No, I'm just telling you, beloved, to stand up and say the Border Patrol has endorsed me. It didn't take them long, did it? To say, no, we haven't, and we never will. I'm just telling you, we're in a mess, beloved. And we're in a mess because of sin. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you not only about the definition of sin, we know what it is, the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened for the deceitfulness of sin. Let me tell you something about sin. The longer you do it, the easier it is to do. Because that heart that was once tender begins to harden over time. I have an illustration of this in my life. My daddy raised me up that it was wrong to use God's name in vain. And I'm telling you, when I was a young and even in my early teen years, somebody could say that GD. You know what I'm talking about. They could use God's name in vain. And I'm telling you, cold chills would run all over me. And then I got in the workplace. And I got to hearing it every day, day in and day out. And the chills went away. And then it got to the place where I was in the welding industry when I got burned. Or I dropped a piece of steel on my foot. It was coming out of my mouth. You can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Nobody ever took their first drink of liquor and said, you know what, I think I'm going to be a drunkard. Nobody ever took that first pill and said, you know what, I'm going to be a drug addict. Sin is deceitful. It'll deceive you. The Bible talks about the origin of sin in the angel, the song leader in glory. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Listen to this. Which didst weaken the nations. You say, Pastor, are we strong or are we weak? You answer that, and I'll tell you who's doing the job. Say amen. He's behind the scenes. Everybody thinks it's a D or it's an R or it's an I. Honey, there's a devil that's behind it all, and he's trying to weaken this great nation that we live in. Sin is a reproach, any people. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. The emphasis is put on I. That's how it all started, beloved. I was thinking last night as I was preparing and still preparing, there was a time in America where the leaders in America were not politicians. They were farmers. They were businessmen. Some of them, many of them, were Christians. They were God-loving people and God-fearing people. And I'll say this, it hadn't been too many days in America where sinners feared God more than many saints of God do today. Now, you have, listen to me, career politicians. people that have never one time signed the front of a check. All they've ever done is signed the back of that check. I'm just saying, beloved, listen, old Lucifer, let me give you something. All those eyes right there, the middle letter in sin is I. But listen to this. The middle letter in pride is I. God showed me something last night. He said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The middle letter in pit is I. Why do people end up in a place called hell? Because that pit is all about the I life. Me. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, I'm not going to turn there, but you know the story, how that Satan entered into that serpent. And he come along, and the first thing he said to Eve is, "Hath God said? Hath God said?" He wanted Eve to doubt what God had said. And then he come along and said, "Thou shalt not surely die." He just flat out denied what God said. He said, "God knows in the day you eat this fruit here, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil." You say, "Pastor, what happened?" I think you know. The deceitfulness. Eve was deceived in the transgression, the Word of God said. Yes, God held Adam accountable. Men, you better leave your homes because God's going to hold you accountable for leading your home. Amen. Yes, you might not like this and the women's livers might not like it, but the woman is the weaker vessel. And God, beloved, lined it up the way it's lined up. And it's not going to change for you, me, or anybody else. God said the Christ is to be the head of the man, and the man is to be the head of the home. When it's out of order, sin is deceiving. Gary Richmond, a former zookeeper, he had this to say. He said, raccoons go through a glandular change at about 24 months. After that, they often attack their owners. Since a 30-pound raccoon can be equal to a 100-pound dog in a scrap, I felt compelled to mention the change coming to a pet raccoon that was owned by a young friend of mine, Julie. She listened politely as I explained the coming danger. I'll never forget her answer. She said, "It'll be different for me." She smiled as she added, "Bandit wouldn't hurt me. He just wouldn't." 3 months later, Julie underwent plastic surgery for facial lacerations sustained when that adult raccoon attacked her for no apparent reason. Bandit was released into the wild. I'd have released him into the wild. I'll leave that alone. Sin too often comes dressed in an adorable guise. And as we play with it, how easy it is to say, "It'll be different for me." But the results are predictable. Julie wouldn't listen. I wonder today how many people think the man of God is wasting his time. I don't want to hear that warning about sin. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. There's not a one of us that raised children. Brother Preston had opened the doors under the sink and said, "Youngins, under there's some bleach. Under there's some Drano. Anytime you want to get you a drink, amen, you just go right on under there. You can play with it all." Oh, no. As a matter of fact, amen, you'll put things on the doors to lock them. And then when they get responsible enough to listen, you'll bust their bottom if they get where they're not supposed to be. Not because you hate them, but because you love them. The deceitfulness of sin. I'm not going to go into all the stories, but you could ask Cain. Envied his brother. You could ask Saul. He entered into the house of God to make a sacrifice when he had no business. You could ask Samson when he laid down in the lap of Delilah. You could ask Elimelech and Naomi. Hey, beloved, they went down there to sojourn in Moab. And then the Bible said they continued there. The first thing you knew, they were out of the house of God for 10 years. Sin will deceive you. It's deceitful. You could ask Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their possessions and lied about what they had done. They kept back part. And the Holy Ghost announced death in both of them's life. We've talked about so far the definition of sin, the deceitfulness of sin. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What about the defilement of sin? You say, Pastor, how does an individual defile with sin? I'm going to make a statement here. Let me read a verse first. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'll promise you, how many of you in this building have children? Would you raise your hand if you have children? I want to ask you this. How many of you got your young and your little girl, your little boy up on your lap when they was about 3 years old and said, let mommy teach you how to tell a lie? Just in case you want to tell a lie one day after a while, let me tell you how to tell a whopper. Honey, you leave them alone. Amen, Sam, you're grinning. You know I'm telling the truth. Amen, your mom and daddy had to teach you to tell the truth. They didn't have to teach you to lie. That was in your nature. You got it from your daddy. And he got it from his daddy. And his daddy got it from his daddy. All the way back to Adam. Sin. It'll defile you. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen closely. We are not defiled because we sin. We sin because we're defiled. It's important that you understand that. We are not defiled because we sin, but rather we sin because we're defiled. It's in our nature. I can remember things as a child. Isn't it amazing how that you get to be 64 years old and there's some things you just can't remember, but there's some things you can. And I'm not going to go into them because they're ugly. I'm talking about things as a child. Beloved, listen. I know this. God said sin will deceive you. God said that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not a preacher standing up here, some holy Joe pointing his finger at you, but it's a holy God in heaven pointing his finger at the whole human race.
Amen.
And he said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me talk to you about this. Number four, the destructiveness of sin. The Word of God said the wages of sin is death. The Bible said pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. As someone said, and it's true, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you far more than you ever wanted to pay. That's what sin will do.
Amen.
Amen. I was listening to Brother Pete preach one time in a prison. And he said this, Brother Chris, he said, sin. He said, it don't even sound good. That old serpent's still at work. Somebody say amen. How many homes have been destroyed by liquor and drugs and gambling and womanizing? How many nations have been destroyed? Because they forgot God. They got too big for their britches. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. America wasn't founded on an Indian God or a Muslim God. America was founded on the God of the Bible. His Son's name is Jesus. We might be a melting pot. Let me just tell you something right now. There's some things that won't melt together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can put that oil and that water together, and you can do whatever you want to with it. Honey, it ain't going to melt together. Because it's different. Say amen. I'm glad, thank God, I've got a Bible. I'm glad I'm not in doubt about it. I'm glad I don't have to say door number one, door number two, door number three. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus stood up in my life and said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll go in and out and find pasture. Beloved, the destructiveness. I want you to listen to this. Now, this is kind of a play on words, but I believe you'll remember it. There was a time in my life, I'm going to tell you how I thought America would be destroyed. by a bomb. Let me tell you how America's being destroyed. Your mind's only going to go to one place till I get done here in a minute. America's not being destroyed by a bomb. America's being destroyed by abomination. Listen to what the Bible said. I know that our minds, especially as Baptists, when you say the word abomination, the first place your mind goes is same-sex marriage and sodomy, and all that's wrong and all that's against the Scripture. Are you listening to me? But listen to what the Bible said. These six things doth the Lord God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. Oh yes, it's okay to say I'm proud to be an American, and I thank God I am an American, and I'm not ashamed that I'm American. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Bible-believing preacher. I'm not ashamed to raise my children in the house of God.
Amen.
This pride right here is saying, God, we can do it without you. Look at our military. Ask the children of Israel. They went down there to Jericho. God said, I want you to march around. Well, I think it was one time for 6 days, wasn't it, brother? And then that seventh day, they marched around seven times. And you know what, Brother Jack, there was a great victory. It wasn't because of their swords and their spears and their military might. It was because there was a God in heaven. Amen. They were obeying Him. They were doing. And then they got too big for their britches. They go down to Ai and they said, there ain't no need in all of us going down there. And, you know, there's Achan. He buried that Babylonian garment he wasn't supposed to have, that wedge of gold and that silver. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is free of charge. Everything else, $50. This is free. We'll have revival in America when God's people get out of their tent what's not supposed to be in their tent. Here they come. And they go down there and they, listen to me, I can speak in East Tennessee vernacular. I speak fluent hillbilly. They got their butts whooped. And they got their butts whooped not because they wasn't big enough and bad enough, but because God wasn't on their side. You better believe, beloved, listen. You better believe God is on Israel's side. He's not forgot them. Amen. They might not know who the Savior is today, but they're going to know one day after a while. I've read the book. And America has been blessed mightily because God was on our side. The destructiveness of sin. Seven are an abomination to Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Can you relate that to anything going on in America? Heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift and running to mischief. Honey, you can't even turn on the news anymore without some youngin' getting killed or some mother getting killed. It's on every hand. You say, Pastor, why? Because sin is a reproach. It's a shame. It's a disgrace to any people. You might not like what I'm going to say, but the answer is not in the White House. The answer is in God's house. Listen, I know, beloved, that it's bad. But let me tell you something that I see. I see a ray of hope. In Louisiana, they want the Ten Commandments back in the classroom. In Oklahoma, there's a battle going on right now to get the Bible back in the classroom. Now listen, we need to pay attention and we need to pray. They don't want the Bible back in the classroom to indoctrinate the kids necessarily. They want them to understand where America come from. How the country was founded. Now you take the other side of that coin and they're doing everything they can to rewrite history. That's wicked. It's wicked what they're trying to do. Cedar View Christian School. I led a young man to Christ in the fifth grade the last time I was there in the chapel service in May. On the way out of the chapel, after this young man had got saved, he and another young man had gotten saved. He said, Pastor, he said, my little sister goes to a preschool. And she said, her teacher told her, She could be a boy if she wanted to. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You can blame some of this on the kids, no doubt. But you can blame a whole lot of it on ungodly men and women that's allowing it to go on. Wickedness. Sin is a reproach. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Let me get to the last thing. We talked about the definition of sin, the deceitfulness of sin, the defilement of sin, the destructiveness of sin. By the way, when the Bible said the wages of sin is death, there are some people that teach you die and that's it. It's over. Annihilation. Just like a dog or a cat, when it dies, it's over. Or a cow or anything in the wild, it's over. No. See, God made us different. We have a soul. The Bible said where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Beloved, we're going to live somewhere forever. I like this statement. I heard it years ago. Eternity is way too long to be wrong. You better be right when you leave this world. You better be right. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, death in the Bible is not only physical death, but it's spiritual death. Eternal separation. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The average person, I'm going to say that 99 out of 100 people that I've talked to in my life have never even heard of the second death. They have no idea what you're talking about. But honey, this Bible teaches that when we leave here, it's not over. As a matter of fact, it's just begun. Amen. For the children of God, the best is yet to come, Brother David. Amen. When I close my eyes here, I'll open my eyes up over there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The deceitfulness and the destruction, the defilement of sin. Now the last thing, I saved the best for last. I want to talk to you about the deliverance from sin. Honey, it'd be a sad story if that's all you had, them first four things. But I want to talk to you about deliverance. How many remembers a while ago how that God showed us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world? Listen to the deliverance. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I want you to understand this morning, everybody in this room that's heaven bound right now, born again right now, we're not going because of our righteousness. We're going because there come a time in our life when we realized we had sinned and come short of the glory of God and God's righteousness. It was going to be the righteousness of Jesus or we wasn't going to make it. Amen. I'm thankful, beloved. Listen, I can say I know I'm going to heaven. It has nothing to do with being a preacher, nothing to do with praying, nothing to do with reading the Bible, nothing to do with trying to be a good citizen and a good daddy and a good papa. I'm going to heaven because a good Lord Jesus gave His life for me on an old rugged cross. That's why it's not presumptuous. My trust is not in me. It's in Him. Amen. One man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Here's a story that illustrates it. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And beloved, listen. If you're praying in your own righteousness, you're always praying with yourself. God ain't hearing you. The Bible said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes towards heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Two thieves. Jesus is in the middle. A thief on that side and a thief on this side. It's not original with me. I think I heard Brother May say this years ago. And actually, I was doing children's church, brother, right after I got saved. And I actually took landscape and timbers and made three crosses and nailed them up on the bank out there, just drove a piece of steel in and supported them, and got the children out there in chairs and gathered around on the parking lot and preached to them how that one man died in his sin. Why did he die in sin? Because he was a thief? No, because he still had that great big if. If thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. So I taught how that one man died in his sin. I taught the children how that this man over here, he died to his sin. Because he looked over and said, you know what? He's exactly who he says he is. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the word of God, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. One man died in his sin. Another man died to his sin. I thank God for the man in the middle that died for my sin. He died for my sin. He died for the sin of the whole world. Let me give you something. Whole world ain't going. Whole world don't want it. Some people in the world, the Bible said, love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Whole world don't want Jesus. I got to where in the prison those last 4 or 5 years, I was telling the men, and I believe it's true today, if you don't want a change in your life, sit still. You don't want Jesus, because Jesus is going to change your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe. Beloved, listen, I was tired of my old way. I wanted to change. Amen. Hey, Brother Jack, you ought to have seen them men in prison when you look at them and say, when I got saved, I didn't quit drinking. They'd look at you like, woo, what? What kind of Baptist is he anyway? But I told him I did change fountains. Now I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. I've got to drink of living water. I don't need Bud Dummer, Miller, Low Life. Or to name it right. Somebody say amen. No high life in that. The deliverance from sin. The Bible said, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Who delivered us, that's past tense, from so great a death, and doth deliver, that's present tense, and we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's future tense. You say, how in the world is God doing all that delivering from sin? I'll tell you. He's delivered me from the penalty of sin when I put my trust in Jesus. That's salvation. He right now today is delivering me from the power of sin. That's sanctification. But thank God Almighty, one day he's going to deliver me from the very presence of sin. And that's glorification. Amen. No sin in my body. No sin where I'm going. The Bible said, beloved, listen, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. There's a deliverer. His name is Jesus. You say, Pastor, what's our part in that? Well, there's a part called repentance. Repentance and faith. What does repentance mean? It means an about face. It means a turning from. Now, let me give you something. If that wall over there represents Jesus, and that wall over there represents sin, let me show you something. It's impossible for me to turn from my sin without turning to Jesus. It's impossible for me to turn to Jesus without turning from my sin. You can't have both. You can't have both. I heard all kinds of fence straddling preaching in my day. There's only one problem with it. It ain't in the Bible. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Beloved, he and he alone is the deliverer. A man huddled on the cabin floor. He was slowly freezing to death. It was high in the Rockies in southwestern Alberta. Outside, a blizzard raged. John Elliott had logged miles that day through the deep snows of the mountain passes. As he checked for avalanches and as dusk and exhaustion overcame him, he had decided to hole up. He made it wearily to his cabin, but somewhat dazed with fatigue. He did not light a fire or remove his wet clothing. As the blizzard blasted through the cracks in the old cabin walls, the sleeping forest ranger sank into oblivion, paralyzed by the pleasure of the storm's icy caress. Suddenly, however, his dog sprang into action and with unrelenting whines finally managed to rouse his near comatose friend. The dog was John's constant companion, a St. Bernard, one of a long line of dogs famous for their heroics in times of crisis. If that dog hadn't have been with me, I'd be dead today. John Elliott says, when you're freezing to death, you actually feel warm all over and don't wake up because it feels so good. This moving story illustrates the spiritual condition of many people today. They are cold spiritually and sadly are oblivious to their true condition. Thank God for all the ways in which He arouses such sleepers. He sends messengers to nudge them awake. Sometimes the methods used to awaken them are drastic, but always for their good. Let us not imagine that because He shakes us, He therefore hates us. He awakens us from our sleep because He loves us and wants to save us from an eternal death. When we were ready to perish, He was ready to save. I think back to the night that God shook me, that God woke me up, that God took the blinders off. Amazing grace, one of the lines in the song was, I once was blind, but now I see. I saw my own sinfulness, and I saw God's holiness, and all I could do was crumble in His presence. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. In John 8:24, and I'm finished. I said therefore unto you, this is Jesus, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. See, it didn't say anything about baptism. It didn't say anything about giving money. It didn't say anything about the church. All those things come as the change comes from trusting Jesus. There's only one reason. A person don't go to hell because of drunkenness and because of stealing. They don't go to hell because they're rich. Abraham was rich and he was in heaven. They don't go to heaven or go to hell for lying. I had a fellow in the machine shop tell me one time there was a guy spending the night in jail and then working during the day in the machine shop, and men were making fun of him. He said, tell him, preacher, tell him he'll go to hell for lying. I said, I can't tell him that. They said, why not, preacher? I said, because it ain't true. You go to hell for rejecting Jesus. You don't go to hell for lying. How many glad God forgives liars? Hold them up fair high. Say amen. That's probably one of the first things we done. Sometimes I believe we were lying before we got out of diapers. We was falling like we was dying. I got to thinking last night about Opie, when he laid down on his back, rolling around and around on the floor, and Andy said, what are you doing? He said, I'm pitching a fit. I never did try that on my daddy, Brother Shannon. I wouldn't have been able to pitch at all after that chance, amen, let alone pitch a fit. I'm telling you, beloved. Somebody said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, put two babies in one crib, give them one bottle. You've raised grandchildren, Sister Linda. I'm telling you right. Amen. You can put two little boys in the floor and give them one toy. It ain't going to be long. Something's going to have to give. Amen. The sin nature. Do you know Him this morning? If you do, then you know the deliverance from sin. How many can think back as I talked about the deceitfulness of sin when it deceived you? I'm telling you, beloved, there's a better way. His name is Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to stand in this place and deliver your word. God, I pray this morning that He, the Holy Spirit, Lord, I've done what I could. I've obeyed you. I pray that He, the Holy Spirit, would speak to hearts. God, I can speak to ears, but only you can speak to hearts. Help us this day, I pray.